Due to technical difficulties, a portion of this presentation was not recorded. We are joining the program already in progress.
Most locks are not engineered to supremely high tolerances. Most locks look, and this is exaggerated, something like this. Imperfections in the machining process leave those pin stack cylinders out of alignment. And any slight deviation in that alignment means that when you torque the plug, there's really only one pin stack binding at any given time. This is what makes picking possible at its most basic level. Because if you apply a little bit of pressure on that plug, you can do what's called setting a pin. See, we're going to torque this, and if you reach in there and start pushing on a pin stack, eventually you'll reach the right height and the pin will clear. The shear line is met and it'll spin. Now, granted, there's not a single pin stack in a lock. There's a row of them. But because, you notice when it clears, this is holding up the driver. That driver is now out of the equation. That driver pin will not slip back down. You can keep pressure on this plug and go through the stacks one at a time, setting them and opening the lock. It looks a little like this. A tool called a torque wrench is put in and a little bit of pressure is put on the cylinder. A pick tool, in this case we're just doing pin by pin picking, goes in, you reach, oh, here's one that's binding, and we set it, and it clicks. Keep reaching, and oh, there's another one, I feel it binding, that plug will click a little more, and a little more, and eventually, you can have them all one at a time open. This is not complex. It's not in the same order every time, because those imperfections, remember, they're not planned, so which pin stack is binding in which order always varies, but the principle is the same. And everyone give me some goodwill and let's kick it off the right way. Hopefully not have a demonstration effect hit us. And let's see what we can do with this lock in front of us here. Is that in pretty good focus? With my craptacular webcam set up? What I'm using is called a jackknife set. It's a nice little compact job. I think the Irvine guys have these here this year. Anybody checked out the vendor area? Is Irvine Underground has their spread of tools out there? Yeah, good guys. So this is your basic, cheap master lock. You'll find I beat up on master a lot in this talk, not because they make the worst locks out there, but, you know, they're definitely in the business of it. But honestly, I mean, we'll cover later a lot of what, you know, Mark was saying. And how many people were at the last talk, the ethics of full disclosure? So you realize a lot, you know, can you really blame companies for making crappy locks if the consumers continually buy them? And can you blame the consumers really for buying crappy locks if they don't know they're crappy? Exactly who's to blame is really kind of up in the air, but one thing is for sure, these aren't really the most skillful locks ever. Yeah, so the lock is open now. Thank you. That's as simple as it is. Literally, you just reach in a little bit. This is that torque wrench I was showing you. Here, are we still in frame? There we go. This is this torque wrench. Just slips right down in the keyway. A little bit of torque and pushing those pins up. We're going to do a hands-on session when all this is done, by the way. I invite people to come and actually try this. You'll be amazed how easy it is. Question? Yeah. So everyone has their own technique that they like. In fact, you'll see some people like to put the torque wrench up in the top of the keyway. Mouse, you like that. Some people seat it down low. I tend to just hold it right in my hand, just let the torque wrench give pressure this way, because as I mentioned, the two biggest mistakes people make when they're first practicing this, when they first want to get into it, is too much effort. Some people put too much pressure on the wrench, which just means the pins are going to jam so hard you can't push them. And some people push the pins so far up that the driver clears and then the key pin goes up into the shear line and you set it way too high. The only way is to release pressure, let them all drop and try again. The way I try to describe it to people, imagine could be applicable here. You just woke up, you're still hungover, you just smoked a fat cannon, and you're like 10 times more mellow than that. Like, dial it down a lot if you try to pick locks and it's not working for you when we're doing the hands-on thing. Chances are it's the lightest amount of pressure you could ever need. And that's really, there's not a whole lot to it. That's the basics. So how do we make locks better? How is a lock, everyone's going to say, well, crap, I have locks like this. Am I at risk? No, you're not really at risk. There are better locks out there. no one talks about this stuff, so no one buys them. But there's a whole lot of high-end features that locks can encompass, and I will cover them now. There's things called secure pins. There's a lot of other advanced features that specialty locks have in them. First, let's talk about secure pins a little bit. This is our same design, the same pin stack, but you notice the driver is a different shape. This is called a mushroom top pin or a mushroom driver. And you can really just picture it how pretty easily. If you were to try to torque this, that's going to bind up on the lip. It's going to get in your way. It's going to be just a real disaster to try to pick that. It's a real headache. Another type of specialty pin is what's called a spool pin that can have a notch that's big or small cut into it. Spool pins are even trickier because you get the sensation of clicking and set it. You're like, oh, I felt it move. I must have set something. No, you really didn't. If you ever have a lock that you keep trying, you're like, what the hell is wrong with this? You may have a spool pin in there. If you want to defeat high security pins and the other kind of, there's another called serrated pins. They just jam on everything and they're just kind of a bitch. If you want to defeat any type of, if you want to pick, usually you'll use a tension wrench that looks like this. They're usually called feather wrenches. It's the very, very light amount of torque, the lightest amount you could ever imagine. Hey, what's going on, Priest? No problem. Bring him on in. We're having a good time. Hey, with this being such a long talk, are you going to do a spot the Fed maybe in the middle of it if we want to break it up some? So, yeah, if you use a very, very light touch on a wrench, you can actually force the pin stack. Yeah, there's some seats up here. Raise your hand if there's some extra seats near you. We got, yeah, there we go. Still more over here. All the way down. You don't have to stand on the wall. Come on, everyone else got up friggin' early and they're in their seats. You're holding up the show. Yeah, give them shit. All right. We'll get it eventually. Just calm, small words. This is Priest, everybody, for anyone who has not met. How many people is this your first DEF CON? Welcome. Absolutely welcome. He is kind of the epitome of the Goon Squad. They work hard. They make sure everything flows right. And we always appreciate all they do for us. So just if they ask you to do something, just do it. Anyone who's had the pleasure of comparing dealings with the goons as opposed to dealings with AP security knows which end of the stick you want to be on. So those were advanced pins. And we can defeat them, defeat is kind of a rough word, but with that feather touch wrench. What about even more advanced features? Because really all this takes is a specialized tool and a little bit more patience. What if you want something even more secure than that? Well, some locks, even in the basic pin tumbler design, do incorporate additional security features, and we can cover them now. This is called a Schlage Everest lock. You can see that it has a normal complement of pins, just, pin stacks like we've been looking at before. But up underneath the bottom of this plug, there's something called a check pin. By the way, this will be for a couple of we have a lot of leftover bottle opener lighters from the BCCC event. This will be for a couple of lighters and a Red Bull. Who can tell me where at a previous DEF CON did a Schlage Everest lock appear? It was part of the obstacle course. I need more specific. It had a specific name. 2 years back. Nobody? It was a big blue lock. Nobody remembers? Come on. I know you have a drink and a letter. Nobody remembers? What? The beer lock. Yes, it was the beer lock, which no one opened. Way to go. And it's a shame no one opened it, because this is actually pretty easily beaten. As you can see, this is the plug up underneath. You can see this check pin sticking through here. Now, that engages with part of the outer shell. And this is not going to rotate unless the pins up top are set. And this is pulled out of the way. You can see this little bar. Well, that little bar engages with a big groove slot on the side of the Everest key. You can see most keys do have grooves. They help seat the key in with what are called wards. Those protrusions are called wards that seat the keyway. This, however, the groove is deep because it actually picks up that pin, and as the key travels down the keyway, it lifts it up and out of the way. Well, it didn't take people too long to realize that you can just make a tension wrench with a nice long finger and pick up the pin that way, or you could take an Everest key, cut the hell out of it, stick it down the lock, and use that as a tension wrench. By the way, we want to thank Matt Blaze for a lot of these beautiful photos you see. I reference him later. He's a real groovy cat, and he was very kind and let me use these. We've got a lot of Red Bull. We're keeping working. For a Red Bull, can anyone tell me the name of the vendor who manufactures and sells these Everest picks? Don't please shout. And no, it's not Southard. So let me see him. You've won stuff. Wait. Yes. Yes, it is Peterson International. Very good. Well, applaud for the man. He knows cool shit. Yeah, this little Everest. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the question was, is that simple? Yeah, as far as I've seen, all the plugs have that. Yeah, these are the Peterson wrenches. They come in two different, there's a left and a right one. And they're really excellent. They're very well made. Peterson, we talk about Peterson later in the talk. They're a very good supplier. They're good people. So we're moving our way up from, like, ass-tacular security to almost good security. Let's talk about very nice security. This is called an ASA V10 Twin. This is a very popular lock in Europe. You don't see a lot of ASA locks in America. You actually don't see a lot of very good locks in America. There's maybe one brand. But ASA is a very good lock. And you can see it has a traditional pin stack with, as you note, secure. This is a spool pin up here. And the spool pin even has an extra lip that really binds up hard. But next to that, there's a tiny pin stack seated way down on the side. And you can tell that only if these pins are lifted to the right height can what is called a sidebar fall inward. This sidebar, unlike remember the check pin was seated down here? The check pin was vulnerable. You could grab it from the keyway. The sidebar cannot be grabbed by anything you stick down the keyway. The only way this sidebar is going to move is if these tiny pins on the side, which are really hard, you can't really insert picks in there. It's a really tiny space. The only way the sidebar is going to fall inward is if that is raised up. Now, I don't know if you can see my faint text here. These are very secure, but the person, in fact, who first showed them to me, a guy named Barry Wells, and how many people know Barry Wells? How many have ever heard him talk at Hope or anything? No? Oh, man, you guys got it. I'll show you his videos later. He's a real amazing cat. Barry, who was a big fan of this lock, was very, disappointed when he found out there is what he calls a geographical weakness. You can see this lock right here with the cuts on a key. That's called the bitting. The bitting cuts are normal cuts right here, and you can see the sidebar cuts down here. What's up, X? Oh, more free stuff?
Oh, yes.
Agent X, everybody, he's running the show as well with the speakers. Big hand for him.
In my hand, I have some individually numbered issues, hardcover of FRAC 63, final issue. Ooh, they're so warm, they're still warm from the presses and from their total hot, the coolness. We're going to be swagging them out tonight. Or we're actually just going to be swagging them out right now.
Okay. Will this be for questions or just for fanfare and pandemonium?
I don't want arms ripped off. So,
all right. Well, we have plenty of...
We're all gentle human beings here, I'm sure. Not savages. Except for that guy. He looks behind him. Anyway. So, yeah, if you could get those out. And they're individually numbered. They're giving away issue number 13 in the Apollo talk. Oh, wow, that's cool. We don't have a DEFCON 17 yet. 18.
Ooh. Limited edition, people. Oh. And here I thought I was just going to give away little cheap Red Bull and lighters.
And we're going to give away a whole bunch of these at the final speaking. At the final announcement.
All right.
Okay, just so we're clear and there's no conflicting orders, do not stand in front of the doors. Yes, you, sir. I'm looking right at you with the backpack. Okay.
Can we get a hand raise again real fast if there's any more seats? Do they all go? There's okay. A few more seats, people.
Okay, I need...
I know it's nice being able to have that room to spread out, but come on, really, raise your hand if you got room.
I need the people back there by the door, you three in black. I need two people in the aisle.
Hang on, we're getting there.
And yes, I know everybody's in black, but I just pointed to you.
We got one seat here.
Okay.
Fine-looking gentlemen, ladies, come on.
You know what? I'm going to bring you down. On the end here, the blue shirt. Yes, you, sir, if I'm looking behind you. No, the other one. Blonde hair. Yes, you, sir. Come up. You, sir, the yellow shirt. Come up. Okay. I need to be able to see the doors. I can't see the doors. Thank you.
No, this guy's not feeling any love right here. This is prime seating, especially if I start throwing stuff.
Okay, we've got one more seat. Set him up, Jay.
All right.
Okay. Just please keep your feet tucked in. Please keep, I got one more seat. Send me somebody from this side of the room over here. Somebody raise you in the white shirt there. Yes, you. Come on down.
You're the next contestant on Get a Better View.
Sir, in the yellow, right there. There's one more, sir, right here.
Is this guy? He still needs a spot, right? You want to move right in there?
Can I call you up?
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry. Okay.
We got, is that take? Right here, guy.
I got this guy in the white taking it.
Oh, all right.
Is there any more seats? Because I overbooked. Yes, sir, right over there. See the hand waving? Okay, please keep the aisles clear. I've got to be able to see the doors from the stage. That means if I see you standing in front of the door from the stage, you're in front of the door. Okay, and the only reason we're doing that is that the fire marshal walks in. We have the illusion of we didn't overbook it too bad. We're trying to get as many people in as we can for the popular talks. Okay, we're working on something for next year. We didn't have a chance to implement it this year. Hopefully, we will have it up running by next year, where we'll have some type of sign-up system where you can sign up for the talks that you want to see. We'll have you with the sign-up. We'll have you line up in one line. People who want to see it but didn't get to sign up will line up in another line. So it'll be first come, first serve. There won't be this rush to the other line. 30 minutes after you're into the first talk, so you get to the other talk you want to see. But for now, what we're going to do is we're trying to get as many people in as we can. We have actually quadrupled the seating from last year. Okay? You'll notice that... What we found was the fire marshal was working from a four-year-old occupancy limit. And we got that updated. That's why there's more people. You'll notice that you guys were in a huge line all the way back around the side of the hotel.
I'm not that good.
You'll notice that all of you got in, plus everybody was queued up over here. So we got everybody in we could. We apologize for putting you on the floor like so. What, he smelled bad or something, sir?
No, I forget myself.
Okay. little lover's quarrel. We got everybody in we could. We're sorry you have to sit on the floor. We're doing our best. Please work with us. We appreciate your patience, and we'll keep doing what we can do.
So, thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, guys. After this talk and you buy a pair of lockpicks and the police pull you over and they find the lockpicks, do not say, I'm a hacker and I break into my client's buildings. We actually had someone do that. Welcome to you're now in jail for having thieving tools. The correct answer is, I'm going to locksmithing school. These are classes for my tools, or I am an apprentice.
Okay. We'll cover that. There's a whole legal section we'll cover.
And I break into my client's buildings. That's breaking, entering, and having thieving tools. So, little subtlety there.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for working with Priest and sitting in the seats. And by the way, show of hands, how many people are staying at the Alexis? How many people? You guys do know those feeds go into the rooms. That's a great pickup line. You just stroll these lines of people, be like, hey, you know, air conditioning. We got some coolers of beer. You want to see the talks? But come on back. Work that angle. I'm serious. All right. So we were going to talk about the potential weakness in the V-twin, right? What's that? Geographical weakness. Yes. And the reason we call it that is because these sort of bidding cuts can be, if you've had a key made, you can see the machine's not sophisticated. It's just a grinder that just grinds off the key, does the bidding. This bidding cut down here, however, for the sidebar, is not easily accessible by a traditional grinder machine. It has to be made on a special milling machine. These blanks are special ordered, which actually increases the security. You can't just, no fool off the street can just get a key blank and cut it. But it's a nightmare for logistics and distribution of locks to locksmith vendors. So Barry and the people at a German sport group found out that all over Germany and other places, they're just divided into territories, and locks are sold with a certain sidebar bidding in that territory so that, you know, all the key blanks for that territory are there. So it's not, you know, it's not a big weakness, but it's just kind of the cost of doing business. The way the distribution works, they don't just deal over the internet. They're like, a guy at a local shop can't have 80 bajillion of these blanks if, you know, a customer comes in. So it's something to keep in mind. And that comes into play with what we do bump keying later. I see a couple hands. I do not know how many territories there are. Yeah, SS Devs, Sportsfunde der Spreitechnik, we'll talk about them later. They talk about it. Yes. I would imagine someone could be mapping that out potentially. I don't know if you can look at just the bidding and know where it came from. He was asking if you just looked at that sidebar bidding, can you tell the territory? Obviously, there's got to be a master list somewhere that coordinates distribution, but I don't know of it. There was one more hand. That's a tremendous question. If simple changes to the driver pins, if, you know, the addition of a ridge or a lip or serrations, if they make it so much harder to pick, why don't all locks come with this? And the reason for that is, Americans especially, but in general, people are cheap everywhere. You got to figure that costs, you know, X number of cents to introduce that feature into a lock, multiplied by how many you distribute in a year. Someone in a boardroom looked at a spreadsheet and said, no, we don't freaking care. Let's just make them this way. That's the answer to that. Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. You can retrofit. You can repin your locks. You can buy pin kits and complete, because, you know, the driver, the height of the driver, the size doesn't matter. It's only these bottom pins that have to be the right size to work with your key bidding. You can retrofit your drivers, definitely. And in the hands-on session, Mouse, if you have the ones that are pulled apart, we can show people how you do that. So, moving onward, that is a very nice, I don't want to knock the V10, though. I mean, for that one weakness, it's still a stupendous lock. This, however, is probably my favorite lock. And interestingly enough, it is an American company that makes this lock. How many people have heard of Medico locks? Now, there's some hands. Medico is one of the finest locks I can think of out there. I don't work for them. I'm, you know, not dating anyone there. They're just really good. They're really good designs. Medico keys, besides being insanely restricted and hard to get your hands on, have what's called cross-cutting. And that's, if you can kind of see these pins, you can notice they're chiseled on the tips. They're also serrated, by the way, these key pins. These key pins and these chisel tips actually fit into, you can kind of see here, these cross-cut notches. These pins spin as they track up and down, as the key goes into the lock. It's called axial rotation. Only if these pins have spun correctly, lined up a notch on the side, will a sidebar fall inward, and then will the lock open. These locks are psycho. You can't, but there's no easy bypass for this. And in fact, the gentleman we've mentioned, Barry Wells, I think is the only man alive who I know who can pick these. I've seen him do it, and I shit myself. I mean, you know, he actually uses that finger pick and he spins the pin by hand. And you can even see this has a fake cut here. So you can feel like you've spun it and you've caught on something, but it's a fake cut, a deep cut. It's a really hard lock. And for someone like Barry to do it, I've seen him like 8 minutes, 10 minutes. A regular person, just any guy with any hope of picking this would take like an hour and a half, 2 hours. If you have a security situation where someone can kneel down in front of a door on your property and fiddle with something for 2 hours, you've got a whole different set of problems if they're not getting noticed. So those are some examples of very high security features in locks. These are out there. They're not outrageously expensive. If you, you know, factor in the costs that involved, you know, what are Medicos, like 100, 150? The V-Twin, I think you can get for about 80. The cost offset is not a big difference considering what you're getting out of it. I see a hand. Yes. Yes, it is. The question was, can you replace just the cylinder, just the core of the lock? Yes, you can. You can usually mortise cylinders, screw out. You can swap out cylinders. In fact, a lot of really high-end – how many people here are in the service or affiliated with the service of any kind, military service? Man, just a handful. Jeez. A lot of military locks are standard designs, like military handcuffs, military padlocks. They're standard industry locks that have been swapped out with a Medico biaxial core. And like you'll see – yeah, you see, so you can retrofit locks to varying degrees. Yeah, the best locks, the brand best, I cover them in a bit. They have a very, very nice system, especially it's one very nice to manage. We're jumping ahead, though, but because you're on top of things, you get a free lighter. Good catch. Very good point to bring up. We're going to cover best lock. We're going to cover a lot of stuff, so we got to keep it moving along. Oh, no, that was a very good point someone mentioned. Yeah, you're not going to make this on a grinding machine or at your local hardware store. You can't make these cross cuts. Very, very restricted blanks. So that was a peek at very good security. Let's flip it back the other direction now and go back to bad security for a minute. Yes. The little light shines in the holes. I don't know what you mean. I don't know. Well, show me like later. Give me an idea later and we'll talk about it. Okay. The question was, if you keep picking and playing with a lock, will it eventually wear the lock down? Yes, there's a lot of potential wear and tear that a lock can experience. The springs that push the pins, those can get weaker. You can also, because a lot of pins are brass because they don't corrode. Brass is easily misshapen. So if you beat the head, in fact, I talk about that later. There's some techniques that are really bad for locks. You can beat the locks up and make them easier to pick that way. Question again. Those are called dimple locks. We're going to cover that in a minute. Everyone, I got to stop rewarding people for jumping ahead of me. But no more jumping ahead. Hold on. We're going to get to all the fun stuff. First, let's talk about really crappy things. Hang on. Wait. I'm trying to go forward, people. I expected questions at the end. This is my second time ever speaking, so you got to, you know, bear with me. Thank you. We're talking about very bad locks at the moment. Can I get a show of hands how many people have used this lock? That's about right. These locks are incredibly popular. These locks are everywhere in our life. Everyone and their dog has a master lock securing something. These locks do not provide anything. If you have something that you care about that you're securing with a master padlock, you know, you're pretty much doing this. Why, you say? Well, you can take a master padlock, much like this little number, and use a guy like this. Does anybody know what this is? This is a padlock shim. A padlock shim can be inserted into a lock. Oops, or it can be broken in the lock, because this shim has been beat to hell. And that'll open that lock. Question? Yes, it will. I'll cover which cannon can't be shimmed. Shims are a very, very elegant sort of attack against a lock. I mean, they really, I would say, fall into the category of a bypass, just because the simplicity of the design and the fact that Americans, especially Americans, but everyone in general, likes convenience as opposed to utility, makes this possible. Let's look a little bit more at this master. You can see it has all padlocks, has a shackle, has a little dog notch, and that interfaces with, let's see if we can see down here, a locking bar that's in there. And only if the combination is dialed in will that bar retract, allowing you to pull the lock open. Well, what if you're not opening the lock, but rather you're closing the lock? You don't have to dial a combination. You don't have to fiddle with a key or anything. You just, slap it shut. Well, that's because that bar is spring-loaded. The bar is just going to get out of the way. It's like, oh, the shackle's coming down. I better move. The way, and I'm going to try to get, I don't make films, so bear with me. The way a shim works, a shim is inserted outside the shackle, slid down in, and then turned, effectively obscuring that dog notch. You see that? It just pushes the bar right out of the way. It's like credit carding a door. I have a lot of friends back home who are in theater. There are theater techs and stage designers and stuff. And there's kind of an axiom with anybody who does craft work on stage and design sets. If you're doing it with springs, you're doing it wrong. This is an example of that phenomenon. Many things in locks that involve spring action are easily compromised, because a spring is by nature it's a dumb device. It doesn't know what's pushing on it, and you can usually just pop them right out of the way. So padlock shims, the cheapest stuff in the world. You can buy them in packs. What's that? Oh yeah, you can make it. We're going to cover. That's going to be a question. Yes, question. Mm-hmm. Yes, very good point. Metal bus fuses. There's a lot of material that you can make shims out of. Shims you can buy. The 20 pack is $25. I'm going to have some of them if you want to play with them in the hands-on area. You can also make your own, and this will be a question. Let's see. This is kind of a hard question because it's very, very current events, if you will. The question for a Red Bull and one of these issues of Frack: what readily available material from DEF CON did we use to open a jammed padlock at Civiac's house yesterday afternoon? It was not a badge from last year, but a good guess. Hang on, I saw... Wait, whoa, no shout-out. I saw your hand next. The man is correct. Come on up. The answer was metal from a beer can. And I have to definitely apologize. I'm sure there's got to be people flailing their arms on the sides, and I might not be seeing you. I apologize for that. I'm going to try to keep you in my field of vision when I'm asking questions. Yeah, just the other day, Civiac had some friends staying with them. They're moving from San Diego. Then they stopped here. They're moving up to Seattle. It's Poly Hazard and I forget who else. But I have definitely done this before. Many people have done this before. Some locks, the shackle completely pulls off. The lock base can actually be completely removed. And if you accidentally slap it shut upside down, the keyway is kind of inaccessible. It happens. It happens to the best of us. I've done it before. In fact, I first experimented this when I did it at home. We had the right tools in hand. And a simple beer can is all it took to shim this right off. We'll do this in the hands-on session. I've got plenty of beer can metal up here, man. We're going to make some, cut them up, and have a good time with that. It may or may not have been the beer that resulted in the lock being that way. I am uncertain. Very, very, very easy to do. In fact, you can ask him. We probably took, 30, 40 minutes in midday Vegas traffic to get to the house. It probably took 30 or 40 seconds to get this lock off. There are, however, unshimmable padlocks. There are very, very good padlocks on the market that shims will do absolutely nothing to. Some padlocks have a nice big boot or collar on the top that makes the shim really hard to insert, damn near impossible. Incidentally, for, let's say, this is kind of an easy one, for a Red Bull and a lighter, and I'm keep the sides in view, what is the actual purpose of the collar or boot up on these? Whoa, that was a lot of hands. I think it was this way down there. Preventing bolt cutters is the exact right answer. Come on up, get a drink and a lighter. Other locks, you can actually, let me flip back to this. This is not the best solution, but if you were to just put notches in this bar, we're not talking about re-engineering the lock here. Oh, here's a lighter, man. Bottle opener lighters, gotta dig those. We're not talking about a massive new design. If you were to just notch this bar, that would rip the crap out of the shim as you try to spin it around. And if you can actually kind of see in there, this bar is pretty beat up. I have some padlocks that I've shimmed so many times, they just shred the shims now because there's so many scrapings. So if people would just notch the bar, it would be kind of a solution. But really, the best type of padlock, and frankly, in my mind, the only type of padlock that can be considered useful at all, involves what's called double ball locking. Double ball locked padlocks, the shackle has, a dog notch on each side, and inside there is no bar with a spring or any other horseshit like that. There are two solid steel ball bearings. These are not going to go anywhere unless this control cylinder in the middle is rotated. You can see the control cylinder has a notch on each side. That cylinder rotates, the ball bearings drop in, the lock will open. That is a real padlock. Anything else is, a paperweight. Many locks employ, they're called key retaining locks, by the way, locks that you have to have the key to open it and close it. Those are invariably going to be high-end double ball mechanisms that are in there. But any lock, it'll say right on the front, double ball mechanism. Look for that. It is not at all a big investment to make that leap up. It's the difference of like a $5 lock or a $12 lock. Moving on. From good locks, we'll jump back again. We're kind of doing a high and low range of things. Warded locks. How many people have ever seen locks that look like this? All right, yes, they are a lot of places. Warded locks are really very nice locks for certain reasons. They're very popular in outdoor situations. In fact, if you notice that trailer that I showed you in the other pictures, that was a warded lock. Why are they popular outdoors? Well, they're very resistant to fouling. They're very resistant to dirt and filth. They can rust up and they'll still usually work. They don't have an intricate pin tumbler mechanism inside. The fact that they have a very rudimentary mechanism means that, that you can put a lot of crap in this lock and it'll still sort of work. The other side of that coin is that it's a really rudimentary mechanism and it's a joke. Warded locks look kind of like this on the inside. You have a long keyway with wards, those are protrusions called wards, that get in the way, and at the very tip you'll have just, a notch bar, just with a spring. Those keys, if I jump back, those keys, let me flip to, I used to have these numbered, and the numbers have all but worn off. Got it on the first one. All right. This key, when it goes down the keyway, the only thing that's actually operating this lock is this very, very tip of the key. That little tip of the key is interfacing with this lock mechanism, the latch that's hidden inside. However, what that means is, let me pull some stuff out here. Come out. My pick set is all clouded here. Pardon the delay. There we go. What that means is if you take a warded key lock and you file down, can everyone see that all right? You file down all the notches, this will still operate the lock. I think this was number one. No, that's number three. So this was, I took, number one is probably this guy, and I just filed all the wards off of it except for the tip. Let me get that in there. That still opens this lock. Because, you know, you only need the tip. The rest of the lock, the only thing it's doing is getting in the way. So that means you could take this to any warded lock. The tip will open. And they just, you know, there you go. Oh, I saw some hands. Wait, hang on. There's people with hands. Wait. Hands? Not so much with a regular pick, but there are what are called warded picks. And there was a hand back. That was that the same question? Or? I'm not familiar. They were even mentioned in the last talk. I've yet to see. If anyone has one of these, I'd love to see it. The TSA luggage lock. I don't deal with you guys who fly. You're nuts if you check bags, man. I FedEx all my shit. I don't deal with those psychos. Hand? Okay. Okay. And you were going to ask a question as well. I'm sorry. Yeah, he makes a very valid point. A lot of these locks, they're really just decoration. Oh, we have a TSA lock? Thank you, sir. Yeah, he gives that man a lighter for that. Are you kidding me? This is a TSA lock?
That's when they gave away the when the vendor gave away the bike. No, TSA lock
for
your luggage.
Oh, okay. So there's apparently varieties of TSA locks. But yeah, I hate the TSA. I won't give them any of my stuff. All right, moving on. Oh, wait, sorry, question. The question was, locks that are called key retaining locks, that the key is inside the padlock the whole time it's operating and will only, that's what you're asking about? And you're saying, is it a spring that keeps the key in? Invariably, key retaining locks tend to be much higher quality. They're going to have a double ball, so no, you can't shim those. So yeah, you can buy these. Does anyone see Irvine's table? Do they have the warded picks there this time around? Yeah, Irvine usually has these sets. What are they, like $9? I hope I didn't lowball that price. If they're more, they're worth it, but they should be about $9. You can literally just buy, you know, these locks cost about $7, so just buy one and carve the key down. Question. Oh, why they're different shapes? You can notice that the question is about those shapes. The key tips aren't always the same size. Sometimes there's a very, very thin tip. Now, if you had a slightly thicker one, it might not stick all the way in. But if you have a very, you couldn't just, if I just took this key, carved it all the way down, the thin is a little weaker. So this set, it gives you kind of options. You can see how they all engage that lever on one level or another. Occasionally, you don't see them anymore, but you used to see a dual lever warded lock. In fact, I think I have one over here I used to have on the back of my truck for my trailer hitch. But, you know, you don't see any one of these could probably open just about any warded lock out there. Barrel locks. New this year. Anyone who saw me at Shmoo, you didn't see this part. Barrel locks are very popular with utility companies, and they're popular in outdoor situations. These are kind of the in-between. Are these really a lock? Are they not? I don't really know. I like to kind of use them as an example of something that works like a lock, but it shouldn't be thought of as a lock. I've seen these sometimes on, like, perimeter fence, on way out on the edge of properties. Don't use them out there. Let the utility company work with these. They're really not truly locks. We're going to play with some of them in a bit. The way barrel locks work, a barrel mechanism looks something like this. It's a double ball action inside with a plunger, and if this plunger retracts, obviously the balls fall inward. But unlike, you know, very high-quality padlocks where the double ball mechanism is engaged with a key and so forth, these really just rely on a very, very, very strong spring. If you just reach in there with a hook, pull that out. Let me see if I can do that for you. This is a homemade tool made out of a fishing snake. You know, if you're going to run wire through a wall, very, very nice steel. If you temper it right, you can make a lot of good tools out of this. This is a barrel lock. You can see the outer casing and the little balls here. If I reach in, sorry if I'm going out of frame for a second. There we go. That's locked. Hold on. That's not the cool part. It's kind of cool, but, you know. Yeah, unlocking it. There, now you can applaud the unlocking part. That's fun. Yeah, this is the plunger that would ride all the way down inside there. I don't know if we can get that up to the camera. Boy, my camera's ass-tacular. But yeah, that little plunger just rides in and out, and it's not a complex mechanism. I've known people, maybe I've heard of people who hypothetically had their gas turned off because they were potentially a moron and didn't pay their bills for maybe a year. And maybe they turned the gas back on this way, but I could just be telling a story someone told me. Was there a question? There were a couple questions on that one. Oh, how do I just, actually, I think I have one that has, you can kind of see the plunger in there. Oh, I'll show you the key. From the tool that I use just reaches in and it has a hook tip, and I just kind of grab as hard as I can on the spring. The spring is sort of fused to the base of the plunger. So if you get that spring at all, it'll move. Was there another question before I jump on? No? All right. There's another type, very similar. It's just called a screw style, bolt style. In this case, there's just threading, and the bolt that's inside the plunger spins outward. The key on that, here's what keys look like. This is the actual anchor key. It's called A-N-K-E-R. It's really just, it sticks down. I think the tip of this has a pair of hooks that flange outward if you pull the handle. But, you know, that's really all it is, just a hook. And this is the bolt stand. Now, you should note that this is not a regular, like, Phillips head or hex head pattern here. This is a unique cut pattern. And the bolt on the inside, if you have a rotating bolt-style barrel lock, is a unique cut pattern. So it's very, very hard to get to pick a rotating bolt style. These are, I think Agbay makes these. These are rotating disc style. You can actually get barrel locks in rotating disc. We'll talk about what a rotating disc lock is later. They are really nice. They are a whole world of difference from what you see on the table in front of me. You can do all kind of levels of permission characteristics, master keying. If any of you work for any type of a company large enough to think about barrel locks, consider going with a higher end one. I don't know the price breakdown, but it's really, really worth it. And just worth mentioning, you see these in similar situations. A lot of the same vendors sell them. They're called intimidator screws. These are included just to mention, you know, these are obviously not locks. Their freaking name is intimidator. It's meant just to dissuade someone. These are not to be thought of as real locks. But you'll see these in you know, very similar light duty situations. Ah, dimple locks. Someone mentioned these earlier. Let me try to make some real estate up here. Are we having fun so far? Am I doing all right? Dimple locks. You may have seen a lot of European locks are of this design. In fact, the device, you know, the club that goes on automobiles, they had a competitor that came out not too long ago. I guess it's long now, but that was like kind of wraps around the brake pedal. And one of the big things in their infomercial was that the club lock is just a joke little lock. Our lock uses a dimple key. You know, you'll see these on kind of higher end situations. Dimple keys. The keyway is flipped this side, you know, it's flat, so it's a bastard to get your picks in there. And I don't have a picture of the key, just other than to show you this. Yeah, dimple keys, to actually carve the bitting on them, it takes a little more skill to get in there. So, but inside, you know, inside most of the time, these are just simple pin tumbler locks. Let's see if I have. You know, it's just a pin stack in here. It's facing a different way. It looks different, but it shouldn't be thought of as dramatically different. It has its benefits. It has its weaknesses. Some people have tried to make these locks even more secure. Let me see if I have that. Well, first, instead of showing you the more secure one, let me show you the less secure one. There are other means of, if I said the keyway is so small it's hard to put your picks in, there's other means of picking them, however. There's a method called impressioning. Those of you, the few of you, who said you knew Barry Wells, the rest of you shall be introduced to him with this video clip. And we hope that we have sound running. I'm jacked in, and everyone heard that loud blaring of sound earlier. So let's see what we've got.
It's very difficult to pick this lock. It's extremely difficult. They put in all sorts of anti-pick pins. It really is a very nasty lock to pick. On the other hand, I just explained to you a little bit about impressioning. And there is a very easy trick to open these locks. And I'll try to demonstrate it. Here you see the original key. It has a deep cut, not so deep cut, deeper cut, not so deep cut. And here's the blank that we prepared. The blank has the cuts all the way to the deepest. So this key will never open a lock. We even made it a little bit deeper. All the holes are just a little bit deeper than they normally
would
get. And what I'm going to try to do now is put some aluminum tape over this blank key so it becomes high again, stick it in the lock, then the pins will push on the prepared key. They will bind. I will move it left and right, and the keys that bind will actually push deeper and deeper and deeper into the foil. And at one moment, hopefully, the lock will turn, and I have an exact copy of the key. And this is a technique that is that's possible on almost all dimple lock keys. It's not possible on the multi-locks, because they have pin-in-pin, and some have to be pushed upwards, and therefore it doesn't work on them. But it works on an amazingly amount of locks. I show you what I do. I put some of this aluminum foil that is being used in the car industry and the heating industry over this blank. So as you can now see, it's covered. The trick is that the way where the key will enter the lock, it has to be perfect, because that's where it will probably jam up if this goes wrong. Okay, I'll try to insert it.
We pick locks, we don't make films.
Okay. Now, the prepared blank is in the lock, and now I will wiggle it. This will take a little bit longer than the ace lock, but hopefully the result will be the same. But anyway, if...
On average, that would open the lock. Cooked tinfoil would slowly shape into the right levels. You go in there, you can wiggle, 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 pop. That's how the average... Wouldn't take very long.
Okay, here we go.
You got it?
Yeah. Watch when he pulls it out. He's made an exact copy of the key.
Now remember, this is a $150 lock. So people are really going to be upset because this works with a lot of these dimple locks.
So that's Barry Wells. Very, very good cat to know. He's a very bright guy. And that is the impressioning technique, which made, and you can see, like, the room just erupted at hope. That really blows people away to see it's that simple, but it works. I've seen him do it, and I'm in awe of the stuff that he can pull off. He's a really great guy. I'm mentioning here another technique that sometimes opens these locks called bump keying. We're going to cover that in a bit, too. How many people have ever heard of bump keying? Oh, only some of you, so you're going to have some fun with this in a bit. Let me see if that's next or if I added... No, I added a new section. There is a dimple lock that's a specialized style of lock. It's a high-end dimple lock that's recently the multi-lock company who was acquired by the Abloy Group, a large umbrella company of lock manufacturers in Europe. The multi-lock is very special because it has what's called telescoping pins or pin-in-pin systems. The pin stacks, not only do they have regular top and bottom pins... but they're hollow, so they actually have top and bottom pins inside of the top and bottom pins. So the key cuts are both dimple cuts and sometimes little protrusions in the middle. So the pins track in and out, there's pins tracking inside of each other. It's a very, very secure design. It's a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant idea, but in theory and practice are different things. This is what, if you were to just kind of look down a lock at a multi-lock, it kind of looks like. You can see you have your pin stacks. You can see kind of protruding. We have pins inside of pins. And most people say, oh, that's a brilliant design. You know, you've got this multi-lock, and that's so, these pins, that must be hell to pick. I can't imagine something like that. Well, it's actually a little something like this. Did anyone catch the difference? This is what people think a multi-lock is. This is pretty much how a multi-lock works. Can anyone notice what is the difference? Yes. The top pins are not independent of one another. They are a related system. They interact with each other in ways that were not completely foreseen. Can anyone tell me? Let's see. This is a really hard question, so this is definitely going to be worth... This will be an issue of Frack, a Red Bull, a lighter, and I think we're going to do maybe a hard drive. I have a lot of old hard drives that are too small for me, but maybe I forgot to erase, you know, Aqua Teen Hunger Force or Monty Python or something I was storing on them. I don't know. Might be there. Can anyone tell me the name of the student from Rampamo College in New Jersey? You already got your hand up? Jesus. You have to pronounce his name correctly, who published an exploit based around this attack. Close, but no, not pronounced right. I saw a hand back here. No guess? There was some, who was it over here? Pardon me? No, it was not Eric Murdoch. I saw a few hands. Jeez, I got two. Was there anybody? I feel like I'm missing out. I know your hand must have been up. I'm missing you. Say. Eric Michaud is the correct answer. Way to go, man. Yeah, Eric is at What the Hack, which unfortunately it's running at the same time as DEF CON this year. If you see that red box, take a look in there and maybe grab a hard drive to your liking. I think FAT, probably FAT file system. The little red, the master, the box that says hard drives. Yeah, the Michaud attack. I'm sorry, what? What's that? You want to help me out, Sandy? How would we describe this? This is Mouse, everybody. She's a member of Tool USA, so she's here with us. Would we call this an exploit or a proof, or what would you think this is? Yeah, this is a tool that we've worked, and I'd probably snap it apart, but giving enough time, I can keep cutting these, and eventually, you know, we do get them to work.
And we have talked to Ken at Houston International, and he's interested in
Ken Presson, the guy from Peterson. Remember I mentioned Peterson, the vendor? This is definitely on his radar, and he's like, oh man, I got some ideas for this. Yeah, we've engaged with Multilog is aware that people are working on this. They've acknowledged that there is something to this. Yeah, they do love to send out letters, don't they? The trick behind, I mean, if you can see what's going on here, you'll probably see already where this is going. Typically, the pin stack would function. This inner pin would be pushed never that high up, because you got to picture a dimple key. You're not going to have a dimple that's little and like this big spike in the middle. So dimple keys usually don't push the inner pin very high. That doesn't mean you couldn't stick something in there to push that pin very high. And if you overlift that pin stack, the Michaud attack just completely moves everything out of the way. It's a very, very elegant discovery, and we're very proud of him. He's a great. And how old is Eric? He's like. He looks 15, but you know he's in his 20s. He's a really bright kid. So way to go, Eric. Keep this on your radar and see if Peterson starts selling anything about it. Back to other locks that are less secure and everyone knows are less secure. Tubular locks. Tubular locks. How many, you guys must have seen tubular locks here and there in life, right? How many people have seen a tubular lock? Yes. How many, from the last talk, we mentioned the kryptonite itself. Kryptonite tubular lock, one of the best ones that people have probably be familiar with. My parents' old house, the alarm system was a tubular lock. When tubular keys first came out, they were revered as, you know, this breakthrough because, yeah, they're a very new design. No one had, you know, wow, what is this shape? This is neat. I guess you couldn't cut this very easily. Yes, it's harder to cut a tubular key bitting. But you have a lock that's literally staring you in the face with all of the pins. It lends itself very well to a lot of experimentation and fiddling because you can independently work on these pin stacks right there. All right, I will. Right. This is called a tubular pick. And a tubular pick has all these little fingers that can track up and down and actually simulate the different cut depths on a tubular key. If I were to, let's say, find a tubular lock somewhere in my belongings. Well, I'll do the crappiest one I have just because it's on the top of the pile. Everyone's seen these before. These are your basic, you know, cheap ass, not allowed to be sold in stores anymore, kryptonite type lock. The way a tubular lock works, you take the, you know, pick, stick it right in the lock and wiggle it. And hang on, I gotta give a little more tension on my torque bar. The problem with this lock is I've beat it to hell because of another exploit that we'll talk about in a moment. Yeah, I think this lock is completely destroyed. I was going to buy a new one, but you got to give them credit. They did pull all these out of the stores. You can't get this lock anymore. So, yeah, this lock is beyond all hope. Let me grab a different one. Because of the public, well, why aren't they selling them in stores? Let's jump to this then. This is why, if you don't have...
This is a Kryptonite Evolution 2000 lock. This is a Kryptonite Evolution 2000 lock. I used to use this to lock up my bike around here in Seattle until I found out that you can take a Bic pen and just remove the top and just pop it into the lock and just do a couple little quick twists and turns and... voila, your lock and your bike is completely compromised. So, way to go, Kryptonite.
That's why they don't sell it in stores anymore. Does Peterson sell Bic pens was the question. I don't know. Yeah, the original design, the spring tensions were really bad, and that's what they were talking about in the last talk. Right. The modern tubular lock, the gentleman points out, is usually designed by Ace. There's the Ace and the Ace 2 even. Those are much better quality tubular locks. They have high tension springs, variable tension springs. You can't just jam a pen in there. I saw two hands, one and then two. Not really possible to use a shim just because traditionally tubular locks, you're not spinning something. You're actually, those are key retaining locks because the little notch in the, well, you really can't see that. The little notch, if you've ever used a tubular lock, you know you can't just leave the key in it. You have to completely pull it back around to get the key out. So there's no reason for any type of spring mechanism to be a part of the secure latch. It's all one solid piece, so you really can't shim them easily. And there was one hand back here. Same question. Okay, yeah, you really can't shim them. However, if You know, you have something that can't be defeated by a ballpoint pen, which is, you know, your ace type design. You can get this lock pick, which is, this one's by Southard. Other people do make them. These are really beautiful, beautiful devices. I'm just going to make that nice and flat and flush. So that kind of simulates a, you know, you could actually see the key cuts would be of different depths, those bidding cuts. And this simulates, you know, let me flush it back out. This would be a tubular key that's not cut at all. If I give this a little tension and I stick this in the lock and I wiggle it some, and now that's open, you can see the, this is a draw, it draws a bar back out here. This is actually a gun lock. Not only have I opened the lock, but I have the bidding of that key, and you could take this to a locksmith shop and get a replacement key cut very, very easily. I don't recommend that anyone walk into a locksmith shop with a pick. All the picks that you can find, usually of this nature, they come with what's called a decoder key. It's a little key that just has cuts on it of different depths, and you kind of, it's like a gauge. You go, okay, one, two, and you can actually, you could walk into a lock pick and a lock shop and say, I need a 7-pin tubular key that's bidded out at 3, 6, 3, 4, 2, 7, blah, blah, blah. And they'll, you know, they'll just punch it in the machine and cut it out. I saw a couple hands on that one. This, talk about wonderful, wonderful girlfriends. This was a birthday gift from my girlfriend right before ShmooCon. So, this is about an $80 pick. And you got, you know, everyone else and their brother gives you like sweaters and, you know, oh, here's some crap you don't really care about. And I'm like, I wonder what this is going to be. And I broke this out. I wanted to cry. Question over here. I'm sorry. Oh, I understand what you were saying. He asked if while I was picking this, was I actually manipulating the heights? No, you don't have to actually force these to do anything. What happens is, much like with a pin stack that we were working before, if I put torque on this, it's not all 7 pins that are binding at once. Only one pin stack is going to really bind. So by torquing, wiggling, and jiggling around, the binding pin stack will start to push down, 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 down on a feeler until it's at the right height. When it's at the right height, that's no longer binding. The next one will bind and so on and so forth. So all I have to do is jiggle it, and they'll eventually all track down to the right height, and they do it all by itself. Question here, behind you, actually. I've never seen a tubular blank. I think they're just, you know, just tubes and could you, what's that? They're blank. Yeah, so yeah, they have the you know, they have the little notch that keeps it seated in the lock, but you can just cut them with regular tools. There was, hang on, you and then you. And am I missing, are there hands on the outside that I'm not seeing? No? All right. Go ahead, sir.
Are they all the same diameter?
The question was, are they all the same diameter? I think diameter, yes, but there are two main systems of pinning. There's 7-pin and 8-pin. So there's actually two picks that Southard offers. I think that there's a bonus if you buy them both at once. It's like a savings. So yeah, there's the 7-pin. By the way, everything is 7-pin. I've never seen an 8-pin in my life. There's also something called 7-pin offset, which the 8-pin pick will work in a 7-pin offset lock. But, yeah, unless you are like a locksmith by profession or want to become one, just start off buying this one. The 7-pin is going to be all you play with for everything you can find. There was another question over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. The gentleman raises a point. He said almost all of what we're talking about, especially as far as pin tumbler picking, excuse me, is based upon misalignment and imperfection in the lock's manufacturing process. And he said, you know, well, if you had a very precise alignment, you wouldn't need a lot of these other security features, would you? Yes and no. You can get very precise machining, and in fact, all of your well-made locks, the ones I was talking about in the ASA locks, the Medicos, just by name, they're all engineered very, very well. They're engineered to much higher tolerances. But you guys know there's a difference between math on paper and math in real life. There's never anything that's 100% perfectly flush down to like a micron level. There's always going to be some intolerance introduced into the equation. That's why high security pins are still very valid to have. But yes, so yeah, you can have them bet some are better than others. High security locks will be better engineered. There was another hand somewhere. Yes. Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome from across the pond. The question was, how did the biro trick work? And for those of us Yanks, that was, how did the ballpoint pen work? That worked just because the spring tensions were so bad, and because the pins could seat all the way in, if you just jammed, you know, you just jam a ballpoint pen in there, it smashes all the springs, all the pins completely out of the way, and it just forces the pins way up inside the lock. Like, both the mouse, am I getting this right? It's both the driver and the key pin go completely, yeah, both the driver and key pin go completely out of the plug, and they seat way up inside the chamber so the plug can rotate freely. People also notice that if you pull the pin out, if you're doing that to a lock, sometimes the pins are all screwed up then and you screw your lock up. So you need a pick like this to get it back working again. You had a question, man?
Yeah, going back to regular shape tumblers, mm-hmm. You just wanted to get some practice working on those. I bought a bunch of padlocks, and I've never once in my life had one say, this features, you know, school and mushroom tumblers. Mm-hmm. Is there some way you can take a lock and has somebody mapped out, you know, this model of master has school?
Very good question. The question was, if you want to get high security pins in your locks, either to practice with them or conceivably to secure your home with them, Virus is mentioning, where do you find these? I don't see them anywhere. That's because I'm assuming you're talking about in stores. You've never found them. Right. Because we're Americans and our stores just don't carry very good locks because they sit on the shelf. No one buys them. People are like, $70 for this sucker? This is 12. Hell with that. Yeah, you buy them on the internet. Look on the internet. Any reputable vendor will actually say, you know, features high secure pins, features this, that, and the other. It's not a feature that they want to be secretive about. It's a benefit to the lock. So they're going to advertise it. But you. Oh, I understand, right. You don't, right, he said, do you know if they're a spool pin or a mushroom pin or a serrated pin? Different vendors tend to have pins they like to use. For instance, we talked about the ASA, that was a spool pin lock. We'll talk a little later about American brand padlocks. They are big on serrated pins. But vendor by vendor, you can kind of get a feel for it. I don't know if there's a nice reference guide out there for who has what, but, break one apart and see what's in it. It was a question. Very good point. We'll talk about this in the URLs later when I give you a bunch of links. Lockpicking101.com would probably have that answer. It's a great, great user base of really knowledgeable people. Anything that I don't cover or you want to know more about, either talk to me later or check them out. I'm going to mention them again in a bit. Let's see. Where were we? Any other questions at the moment? The problem with a blank is that it might not, I'm trying to think if this was the thing, it might not grab onto, the question was, if the ballpoint pen works, would just a regular blank have worked? Right. Oh, all right. I understand. Part of the pins fitting in, let me see. I see what's going on. When you have key pins that are still in these grooves, you know, typically you'd have a driver pin stick out and the key pin would seat in this. Oh, Laz! There you are. How are you, man? Where were you?
Stuck in an airplane.
Oh, man. Sorry to hear that. Usually you would have key pins in those grooves. They are helping to turn that center post. With the pins being all pushed out of there, there's nothing for a blank to grab onto. That's why the plastic pen works so well. It actually grabs the post because it uses the plastic misshapes. It has a little friction, and it'll help spin. That's why that happens. All right.
Could you have gotten the smaller fucking screen?
Are you going to sit up here and bitch, or are you just, you know, what the hell, man?
Get your beer. Come on.
So that was tubular locks. There we go. Moving slowly forward. Yes? Pardon me? I don't. The question was about Kensingtons, the ones that use that you see on a lot of laptops and locks like that. They say, was it a different diameter? I don't know. I've never. They're the same. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can Bic pen those as well. Okay. All right. Oh, we got more questions. What's that? Apparently, cardboard from a toilet paper roll works very well on a Kensington lock. All right, we gotta move on. We're already in the second hour here, and we're
second talk was cut back to half an hour for something else, so we're just gonna extend this and run through.
Okay. All right, moving along. Bump keying. We were mentioning bump keying earlier briefly when I said Barry was bumping his ASA lock, and you can sometimes bump dimple locks. Bump keying is a technique used to quickly spring a lock open with a specially cut key. A key is called a bump key. It's also called a 999 key. For a Red Bull, can anyone tell me why it's a 999 key, where that name comes from? Saw your hand.